Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. And I'd blow a party thing, but I don't have any. Well, that can stop the conversation.
I could blow my nose for a similar effect. I have a bit of a cold right now, so I may sound a little different and be slightly more grumpy. But yes.
Well, it is the season to be sneezing. No effect on that one either. What a good start to the year.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh,
dear. I'm still recuperating from the Hogmanay party, so here.
I don't have any excuse, I'm just that bad.
I don't think it was drink related. I wasn't that hungover on New Year's Day, but it could be. It could be related somehow. Well, it might have been my immune system. It got in, and now it's just very out. I don't like meal. I don't think I came from a family where you just weren't ill. But if you were, you were still shipped off to school and told, no, you're not ill.
Like, oh, no.
I know exactly how you mean. Was your mother always like, well, we'll see how you are at lunchtime?
I don't think there's any possibility for coming home at lunchtime either, but...
There was never a possibility of coming home at lunch. She just wanted to see how you were. So, Mom, I'm dead. Oh, well, never mind. Maybe you were ill after all. We'll see how you are in the morning.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to 2011. This is the Webcomics Company Podcast.
Oh dear. Have I podcast cut off?
Of fantastic people who happen to draw webcomics and are on this podcast. Let's introduce ourselves.
Hello, I'm James Spence. I draw Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk.
Hello, I'm Luke Sell, and I draw comics at lukesell.com.
We also have Luke Healy. His connection has dropped, but you can find him at swanynook.com. And I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson. You can find me at zoerobinson.com. And that's probably the best place to go to find every single weird thing that I'm involved in this year.
As well as connection problems, we may have a few illness problems as well. I have a bit of a cold, and I think a few other people might be having some potentially New Year's related sniffle issues.
New Year's related sniffle issues. Is that what happens when you drink too much?
It certainly happened to me.
If my parents are listening, no.
Welcome back, Luke Healy.
Hello, thank you. I just mysteriously dropped. I have no idea why. So let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Well, however, welcome back.
I think of a clever segue into our topic. In terms of mysteriously dropping things, what you don't want to be mysteriously dropping is your comic.
Excellent, that was excellent.
What a fantastic segue. It was almost seamless. I couldn't see the join.
The topic we thought we'd talk about today is keeping the motivation going for doing your comic. As somebody who has dropped two comics in my time, I can speak a little bit about what goes on. But yeah... I don't know how you guys have done some things which have come to an end. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I've had two that have come to an end. One was sort of a planned end, and the other one was definitely a big dip in motivation, which ultimately just was the final nail in the coffin for it. how about everyone else? Have you? How have you managed to keep the motivation going?
Well, I'll raise my hand and say, my name is Zoe and I am a comic dropper. I've dropped two comics since my last meeting.
Is that in total? When was this? How long ago did you lose your comics? Oh dear.
Who are we talking to here? Me?
Sorry.
I've dropped in the last 20 years, it would be at least two. I can't remember the name of some of the ones that I used to try and produce when I was a kid. But I had one called Portly Stout Master's Journeys, about this very fat, drunk priest who wandered across a fantasy world, sort of occasionally wandering into trouble and then getting out of it using special powers. When I started that, it was really fun to basically riff the piss out of fantasy genres. But I found that I got old very quickly and lost motivation because I couldn't think of anything actually fresh to do with them. So that ended. And the other one was Colin Cleft, the space bloke, who was a fantastic square-jawed pilot in space. And he crash-landed on a planet, and the idea was he would, over the course of his journey, eventually repair his spaceship and go home. And I couldn't really think of anything really to do with him, so I ended up dropping that too.
You kept on comicking. That's a thing. You now have more comic projects ongoing than you have stopped, I believe. So
I've got three comic sites now. Today I have three comic series running. Tomorrow it'll be four. By the end of the week, it'll be about six or seven.
So you haven't given up. You're definitely still kept motivation then.
I don't think I'm capable of actually giving up comicking. I can give up comics, but not the actual process. Maybe I'm just weird.
I would say that seems to be the exception, just judging on how many abandoned comics there are out there.
Actually, that's
certainly
true.
A lot exist.
That is true. I mean, it's about 10,000-20,000 webcomics online or something by conservative estimates. And I think, maybe 1,000 are still running?
I wouldn't say that's unrealistic, especially if you go through all the ones on the free comic hosting sites. There are a lot of comics that are just dead in the water.
Yeah, I wonder what it is that makes people decide. Like, I would always, if I'd started a project and I knew that I had people reading it, even if I had decided I didn't want to do it anymore, I think I would at least, put something up or maybe just try and wrap it up in, I don't know, two pages or something, just so that I could, have some sort of, something to complete the comic, basically. I always feel I wouldn't want to cheat people who'd come along and then just to find out that, there was just never another update.
Yeah, I mean, we probably shouldn't be in a position where we're saying you must update your comic above all other things, because there may be other things in your life, such as family, friends, careers, which may get in the way. But please, please do actually put up some sort of notice if you're stopping. You will make me very sad if you just stop with notice.
Even a blog post takes 30 seconds to type up a little message.
That's
enough.
I have to say, I've been guilty of stopping without telling people, and it does take a lot of effort to get people back on side once you've annoyed them like that. Because at the end of the day, it's the same as... look at it from the point of view of all those people that were watching stuff like Alias and Lost. They're both by the same person, and when his new projects come along, myself and a lot of other people looked at it and thought, well, I've been disappointed with the way he's ended every other project that he's done. Am I willing to invest in this new one? And I think there's a lot of that in webcomics as well. So this person's abandoned project after project. Should I actually bother reading this new one?
Yeah, it definitely would be something. Like, if you were, if you found a new one and you sort of looked back at his previous work, then it would be a factor that would put me off, I have to say.
Not to put anyone off starting a new project, of course.
No, definitely not.
If you've got the fire in your belly, then go for it. But
and sometimes that's what you need in order to keep your motivation going to make comics at all.
Yes, definitely.
Better to start a new project than to just stop making things altogether, I think.
yeah, there is that. You might suddenly find that actually this new thing, it's what you really want to do. The first one you had to do to get to the point where you could do what you really wanted.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because sometimes, particularly with like a first comic, it is quite a big learning curve that you go on, and it is quite nice to kind of get to a certain stage with it, and you might at that stage kind of say, oh right, well actually I think I could actually achieve a whole, you know, better comic than I've currently got here. So I, you know, there are definitely valid reasons for concluding a comic. I suppose it's just a matter of trying to do it in a way that basically won't, burn any bridges for the future, or that would upset anyone who might be a reader of the future comic that you then do.
Yeah. Well, if you have to stop it and you can't go on, perhaps summarise what you were going to do in a blog post.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea. And rather than sort of talking about the like what's made us sort of end projects, and what actually keeps us going with our comics, and what is it that encourages you to put pen to paper and do the next page and the next page?
This may sound a bit sort of negative, but having an update schedule, which I feel somewhat obliged to keep up, which it runs fairly regularly, and I only ever skip comics if I can put out a notice ahead, so that it's not just stopping. There's at least a plan, a point when the next ones will come on. So I find in the very short term, just having, even if I don't really feel like doing it, I'll try and put an hour and a half doodles together and make something up. And that is, so when I actually have very little motivation, what motivated me is a sense of obligation more than anything else. But yeah, that doesn't work in the long or medium, probably in the medium or long term. So I do really like what I do. And because I don't really have a story, this is one of the reasons I don't do stories, is because I don't feel I could be tied down to anything. So, to be honest, I can do whatever I like with my with my website, which is quite liberating. So, I can always do what I want to do.
So when you do your sort of 11th hour ones, then when you are sort of feeling that slump in motivation, do you feel, when you look back at them sort of down the line, do you sort of remember it as having been one that you did, you know, at the last minute, or do you maybe it just sort of you because it's the 11th hour, you're able to just pull out the, you know, something great at the end of the day?
I'm usually okay with the jokes, because I have a buffer of things that I've written, so it's not usually, I'm not usually worried about the actual writing content of it, but
right.
Sometimes I look back and go, that's pretty shoddily drawn. I think one of my most successful comics was an 11th hour one, in which I go back and think, really, people, why do you like this? Why are you linking to it on Reddit? It's not very good.
So what one was that one?
It was the one with Emily 2761 on Chat Junkies. I instead of drawing something, I used a chat program. I got two windows up and talked to myself and simulated an amusing conversation with a bit of a maths joke in it. And that got, despite being done in about 1 hour, was I think it's my fourth most popular comic I've done.
So,
I don't understand people, really.
I think I remember that one. It was quite funny.
Yeah, I think I remember it as well. Is it in your book, Luke?
Yes.
I thought so, yeah, because I'd picked up your book at the convention. I'd just finished reading it just recently, so it's fairly fresh in my mind.
But the fact that I can just enjoy what I enjoy, and I can change up myself what I do. I can be a bit experimental when I want to be, and I just generally like being a bit of the class clown on the internet. That's going a bit. Do you ever find, when you guys who do regular story, do you ever find yourself in the middle of a storyline which you really don't like how it's going.
Yes. All the time.
I restarted my Comico for that.
Oh no.
So yes. I have come across that feeling. And I think that I'd be the first person to put my hand up and just say, yeah, I've like severely mistreated the people who read my comic. I'm so sorry. I've just been like really bad with updates and everything. But for me, especially this time around, it's not specifically been a problem with motivation. Just a lot of real life stuff that's caused me to lose the update schedule. But for me, anyway, I'm not sure how this trade this is for everyone else, but once I miss one update, it just spirals out of control. You know, if I'm going, okay, every Monday and I'm putting one out every Monday, and then I miss one Monday, and then the next Monday, I'm just like, oh, well, I missed that one Monday. And
I remember doing that. It can be hard to miss your first update, but the second one is so much easier to do then.
Yep.
So on.
You're making it sound like that part in James Bond. So is this your first kill? The first one's always hard.
So with you sort of doing the reboot of Swanee Nook, do you find that you're sort of like, I suppose, like you're sort of redrawing a lot of things that you've already drawn. Is that correct, I don't know how much it changed between like the first run and the second run.
It's very similar. It was almost frame by frame recreations up to a point. Now it's gotten quite different. Just in terms of, because you know, I suppose while doing it, I've learned a lot more about how comics work, and the newest page is definitely not a good example of this, but, you know, just like dynamic character posing and making kind of more interesting angles and putting depth into the frame and stuff like that. And in trying to incorporate all those techniques, I've definitely changed a lot of even just like the dialogue, the page structures, everything. But for a while, it was almost exactly frame by frame recreated.
That's quite interesting. So do you sort of treat the first run almost like being a kind of a first draft, if you like, and then this is now the definitive final versions?
Yeah, pretty much. I basically treat it like a rough script, I suppose. And I'm very, very pleased when I look comparatively between the first version and the current version. So that definitely helps keep me motivated when I see that it's improving.
So do you feel that you're sort of striving to get to the point where you left it at the first time around? Once you've got beyond that point, then it's all new tracks in the snow after that. Yeah.
I cannot wait. I'm so sick of drawing. I made a 3D model in Google SketchUp for the inside of the shop that they're all in, and I've drawn that thing so many times. I cannot wait till they're outside and I can draw sky again. I'm just colouring everything brown. It's just awful. But, you know, it's important to get through that part. I don't begrudge doing it too much.
Why you're starting up this? I've just realized I'm talking about something we were saying before we hit the record button. You're starting up a new blog where you're drawing essentially random things. Is that?
Yeah, is pretty that, much.
Is part of the reason because you want to draw things other than where your characters happen to be at this point?
Yes, I've legitimately like it's been about. Oh, it's probably only been 6 or 7 pages that they've been inside this shop, but it feels like much longer because it's probably been over a month since I've drawn anything for my comic that wasn't shelves. I started that blog, and it's just it's a great way, I think, to keep yourself motivated. For me, anyways, when I draw the same thing over and over again, the same characters, the same locations, it gets really quite monotonous, and I tend to end up when I look back over pages, I see that the characters are they're the same poses over and over again. So I like to vary it up by just drawing different stuff. So in the case of this, I'm just using Google Images to try and be, so I kind of draw stuff that's unpredictable. I tried that, I can't remember, is it called like Pose Maniacs or something? It's like that posing website where it gives you, do you guys know that? Where it's like pictures of, it's like a musculoskeletal system posing.
I've seen it, yeah.
I tried to do that, but it just got a bit dull drawing just plain blank person over and over again. So, because I like to draw weird stuff. I'm not sure where I was going with that little speech, but there you go. Work it out if you can.
Just on the point of drawing the same thing all the time, it got me thinking about what I was reading in Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics. Have any of you guys read that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Got it on my shelf right here.
Yeah, I've just picked I just picked out my copy, and on page 88, it's got a pretty interesting way of drawing what would be quite a monotonous scene of just a woman cutting up some vegetables to put in a soup. It's one picture of the pan with boiling water, one picture of her chopping some vegetables with a close-up, one picture of her face, and then one picture of a mixing bowl. And it's all just different ways of focusing on important parts, but moving the story along at the same time.
Have you ever heard of the it's like this image, it's called something like Wallywood's 22 Panels That Always Work. It's this image that's, and I'm just going to look it up and just see if I can find it, but basically it's this image that's got 22 ways that you can present a comic. So it's got like foreground or like close-up or like it's all sorts of different ways that you could present the same thing. So you could imagine like if a line was being delivered, you could sort of look through it and sort of see, oh right, if the line's delivered and they're in, you know, foreground, it would, you know, have a different meaning to it and things like that.
Now that is interesting. I'd like to have a look at that.
Yeah, me too.
Can you find a link and we'll put it on the a link on the site?
Yeah, yeah, sure. I'll dig that out, yeah.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
Something that I would hate to draw. I mean, I quite like reading them because when they're well written, they can be funny. But something I would absolutely hate to draw is what I kind of call the sit comic, which is, I suppose, Zoe, you're all over the house would probably be an example of this, where it's, you know, like two characters and they talk. It's usually three panels. Some other examples would be like Penny Arcade.
Oh, two guys on the couch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, where it's not, it's pretty much just a setup for a gag. It's the three panels and, you know, people talk. But I don't know, I think I would hate to draw that.
It can get repetitive, I have to admit. It's one of the reasons why I like mixing everything up. And like today, they go back in time just so I can draw a different style of outfit, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way. Yeah, I was just going to try to say, you know, there's ways of varying it up. So, you know, definitely character costume changes is something that I love to do. And if my comic ever gets past chapter one, you will see that a lot.
It's actually one of the reasons why I don't have what you call a limited wardrobe for Emily and Tazrin. Every time you see them, they're wearing similar things, but they're a different colour. Or one of them's wearing a T-shirt where normally they'd be wearing a vest, top and shirt and things like that. So,
yeah.
It's just little techniques for making it not boring as hell to sit and draw.
Yeah, I'm always changing the characters' clothes and hairstyles and things like that, just to kind of, just so it's a bit more interesting for me. Kind of, and for me, it's whenever they're in the bus, kind of going on a journey, and then there's loads of panels where, you know, I don't have a lot of option but to do kind of close ups of their faces while they're sort of driving along, or do a long shot of the bus in the distance. So yeah, it's I try and avoid this now. Oh, hello.
Sorry, I just used directly into my microphone. I'm just gonna move my microphone away from my face just while I do. Sneaks a bit. Go on, go on.
Pick us all up.
But yeah, the different hairstyles, clothes, and different angles or focuses for drawing, it helps with the motivation because it gets rid of the monotony.
It also makes it better to read, I think.
Yeah, I think it does.
I prefer it.
If it's boring for us to draw, it's going to be boring to look at, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if you don't want it to be, it's going to come across in what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I always hated, this is just like a personal thing, but you know, like in The Simpsons, oh, Bart Simpson's wardrobe is full of little orange t-shirts and blue shorts.
Yeah.
I always found that quite annoying. I know it's to make it easier for animators who have to draw him like hundreds of thousands of times every week. But it's something that I, you know, if you're doing a comic, I think that generally, you know, it's no harder to draw them in one outfit than it is another. So
yeah,
why not switch it up?
Yeah, I suppose that there's, you know, you do see a lot of comics, it tends to be sort of earlier kind of, you know, people's first efforts and things where you get that sort of copy-paste kind of mentality and you try and, you know, you come up with a good image and you think, all right, I'll just use that throughout the comic, you know. I suppose by, it's the same as with Bart Simpson's outfit, you know, it's a way that you can then just take that and, you know, you never have to draw him again. You know, facing to the left or what have you.
There's
yeah.
A bit of that, but I think and unfortunately it comes from the very early days of comics where, if you've ever seen the yellow kid, he's always wearing that one big long, basically a robe. And Peanuts, Charlie Brown's always got his same shirt on and things like that. It just seems to become a tradition and I don't really understand why.
I think there are character recognition things in Superman's costume is really the most recognisable part of him. His face changes a bit over the decades, etc.
Actually, that's a funny point. Maybe that's why when he puts on glasses, no one recognises him. Because no one's looking at his face. I'd never thought of that before.
Finally, Superman makes sense. Except, you know, the whole superpowers thing.
Yeah, a solar powered alien who can fly by jumping.
That's a minor inconvenience. Is that the excuse? Does he really fly by jumping?
Originally, yeah. In the original comics, he couldn't fly. He was able to leap
tall buildings in a single bound, faster than the speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. Look at the sky. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it is Superman. Sorry, I know too much. But yeah, I think it was because the original explanation was it was because Krypton had had more gravity than Earth, so therefore he was stronger than an average human because of that.
All right,
I see.
Think he'd be all. You'd think he'd be like a squashed down, you know, kind of about 3 foot tall or something.
Now that would have been a completely different thing. Do you think it would have worked if he'd been this dumpy guy?
Yeah, sort of Danny DeVito version of Superman.
I would read that. I legitimately would read that. Yeah. Or watch it in film form. Danny DeVito is Superman. That can be the new reboot.
There's definitely a comic in that.
I think they are actually making a new Superman film, like a reboot, since the Batman one was so successful, and then the most recent Superman film was so unsuccessful.
I like the most recent Superman film.
I liked it too, yeah. I don't know why it didn't work.
I wasn't too.
Didn't do very well.
Probably because it's got about an hour of footage that could have been cut out. I have to say, I like it, but it's slow.
Yeah, also, isn't it like a continuation from the ones that, however long ago, they're made in the 80s or 90s, ones?
It's meant to follow up Superman 2, but not Superman 3 and 4. That's
Superman 3 and 4 were never made.
So
they're a joke perpetuated by certain people on the internet.
Just people who are very good with Photoshop.
Yeah. That whole thing, nuclear man, who would commission that?
Well, yeah, he's bit that. Isn't that Superman's deal though? That he's like nuclear powered because of the sun. I don't even know. Never mind. Let's maybe
no,
we should move
all
on.
Green energy, solar power.
So motivation for comics.
What about you, Zoe? How do you stay motivated?
My biggest tip for motivation is if you're going to have a storyline, get the basics planned out. So even if you haven't got any scripted for your next upload, you know what's going to happen, so you can pretty much wing it. And just try your best to mix everything up so you don't end up getting into monotony. That's how I do it anyway. Excuse me. It's also why we're thinking Improv Canon. It's 5 stories rather than just 1. So that I get to mix it up every day.
That is going to be monumental terms of the work.
It's so fantastic.
Yeah. I don't believe I've wished you luck yet, so I'm going to take this moment to do that.
Thank you, I might need it.
I'm sure you'll be able to do it. I saw that the first page went up, though, didn't it?
Yeah, the first page went up today.
Yeah, it looks good, yeah. Good job.
It didn't look very good until I painted the space parts in with ink, and then I thought, actually, this might work. It just looked flat and boring.
Yeah, plain inks tend to do that if you don't put any black in. Yeah. If it's just the outlines.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think tomorrow's is going to look a bit plain, but there's not much I can do about that now because I've got to move on. And that's another thing that I think you've got to do with motivation. Move on continuously. Don't keep looking back, because I've made that mistake myself, looking back and thinking, I should have done this this way, I should have done this that way. Don't. Just try and fix it as you go forward.
Yeah. Do you ever go back and fix anything in the past?
No, which you can see from my website. I still have the original Knob Mouse comics up. The original page of Knob Mouse calls the city something different, and I changed it in the next episode and never went back and changed it.
All right.
That's one of those things.
I once went back and been reading through the archives, and I just saw the way I'd drawn one of the characters' noses, and I absolutely hated it, and just couldn't get it out of my head, and I just eventually thought, no one will know, so I just went back and changed it.
Okay, that's minor things. Yeah, sure, go back and do that. I did go back and change something. The original Knob Mouse ones, they're all lettered by hand, but I've got appalling handwriting. So you can't actually read anything from the first couple of years of Knob Mouse. I'm going back and covering over those with speech bubbles.
Ah, right, okay.
That's about the only change I've done.
Cool.
That sounds like a good step there.
Yeah, legibility for the win.
I think back in the one of the older episodes, we agreed that was probably the most important thing when you're making your comics, so that people can read them.
Yes.
So... Good. Excellent.
Yeah, I will get around to finishing that sometime.
Well, I suspect that my approach to motivation is will come as no surprise to any of you. Basically, because I have this monster buffer, basically I just if I'm not feeling motivated, then I just don't bother, and the buffer just takes care of it. So
yeah, I think that's probably... It's very easy to say, it's a lot harder to do, but that is a very, very good thing.
Like the dream, though.
A week at the moment. A whole week of buffer that I've prepared over Christmas.
Oh, man, you're living the dream, man.
You
can just do whatever you want, you know? Just go crazy in the streets. You could get arrested for 10 days. Wouldn't make a difference.
I suppose the other thing that kind of keeps motivation going is I love this idea of a sort of a future collection. You know, I'm very much a sort of completist, and I like the idea that there's a finished product just waiting to be, you know, put together. So that's always quite motivating. And with my comic, it's sort of done in, I suppose, like chapters, and I always love just that feeling of having completed a chapter.
When I get there, I'll tell you if I agree. right now, I've got nothing. The idea of it, I do know what you mean. Because when I was launching Ink Proof Canon, I was thinking, if I get all the way to the end of this, I'll have 52 pages of each comic. I'll have enough to print out a mini comic. And it is a motivating factor.
Yeah, it really is. It's sort of, you get a kind of psychological boost from just reaching a milestone, you know. So if you do feel that you've actually got something that is then, you know, that'll be a completed story that you then have for, you know, going forward to the next story and the next story. So, and, you know, then there is this idea that because you've got completed stories that you might be able to get readers coming in and saying, all right, well, at least I can give it a go and, you know, see what a completed story by Zoe Kirk Robinson will be like, you know.
Yeah, that's it exactly. Oops, I just knocked the microphone
out. Here. I agree as well. I think when you reach a milestone, it's just such a great feeling. It's amazing. but for me, what's even better is starting a new chapter. I love that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like there's so much potential there to do whatever you like with it. And I think that in comic, like, I don't think there's any excuse. There's no reason to get bored with something that you're making, because you're making it. You can do whatever you like. So, you know, if you're finding it that you're becoming bored with something, you know, change it up.
Yeah,
I think that's okay. That's what I'm doing. I'm when I get to the start of chapter 2, which is about 4 pages away, finally. The art style is going to change again considerably. And I might make that a tradition between chapters, depending on how that goes.
Ah,
but cool.
I like that idea. That is cool.
Yeah, John Allison does that. I kind of, it switches between Adobe Illustrator style and more hand drawn style. So yeah, it is a fine tradition you are leading.
What style are you going for? Cubist?
Oh yeah,
because that would just be so cool. I'd love
cubist
to see
comic.
I'd love to see a proper cubist comic.
Speech bubbles would be unique.
Yes.
To say the least.
Yeah, is that a speech bubble or is that a face?
I'll bust out my Picasso books and get studying. You know,
I have to admit, I do love the idea of different art styles. Like something like Escher, I see if, and every now and again you see references to him. But if someone were actually come out and do a Van Gogh comic or a Picasso comic, that would be so cool.
I'd love an impressionist comic. That would be amazing. Well, there may actually be some that might qualify as that, now that I'm thinking about it.
I've seen a few abstract, but I've never seen impressionism.
Just some of the more, you know, like painterly comics, I guess. If they're kind of...
Actually, yeah, really you mentioned it.
Like, have you guys read... it doesn't really count because it uses black outlines. Have you guys ever read a comic called Para 10?
No.
No.
Oh, you should look it up. It's really good. It's kind of like watercolor mixed with oil painting. It's really hard to describe. It's all done digitally, but it looks really unique, and it's cool. Absolutely a gorgeous-looking comic.
Do you have a link that we can put in the show notes?
Yeah, I'll put it in.
That'd be cool.
Okay, it's not active because I didn't put the www dot, like a fool.
Never mind. That's para-10.com?
Yes.
Cool.
I should have just really said that out loud. Oh, dear.
Yeah,
okay.
But now that you've put it into the text, I can just copy and paste that into the show notes.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good. You should give it a read. He's just started chapter 5. So there's a lot to go. Well, not a lot to go through. There's enough to go through. I bought the printed edition. Just at the end of last year, and it looks really, really nice printed out as well. So,
yeah. I'm just having a look at it just now. It looks brilliant, actually.
It's really good. You should, yeah, definitely throw some time into that one.
Cool.
And while we're giving plugs, I think I should. I don't know. I saw you tweeted about this as well yesterday, Luke. That Blurred Lines comics. He just finished like a huge storyline on blurredlinescomics.co.uk, and it's just amazing. So
I love that comic. That's really good. I hope he's going to make a printed copy collection because I will buy it.
Yeah, me too. I hope so.
If you're listening, that's our, that's an order.
Well, he can't not produce it now.
It's true, there's a lot of internet pressure on him to make this book.
Do you have a question for the team? If so, pose it at www.webcomics.co.
Webcomics Company Podcast. So, who got what for Christmas then? Anyone get any nice comic-y things?
Luke Healy, did you get something nice for Christmas?
It's not, well, like, yeah, you guys think it's better than it is because I was being a little coy at the start. But I got copies of Mouse by Arch Beagleman and Persepolis by Marjan, I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
I've got Persepolis, and that is great. I feel like I should read Mouse at some point, but I know it will be very depressing.
I bought a copy once when I was going on a long train journey, and I couldn't put it down. It is amazing.
It's so good. It's one of those books, like, I think those two are the comics that are always in a bookshop, no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for a reason. They're both just spectacular. I think I preferred Mouse a little more. It's just absolutely a masterpiece. And it won the Pulitzer Prize for Literature, which was just, which was kind of a nice surprise to find out.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big deal for a comic, you know?
Yeah, because normally they just get ignored.
Yeah, and it's totally deserving. It's so, so good. And I absolutely recommend it to everyone and anyone. Cool. So have you read the entire thing then, Zoe?
I have. I think I read it in 2 or 3 days. And like I said, I just couldn't put it down. It was amazing. But I just love the way that he uses all the different characters, not characters, the different animals. And they have masks at one point when they're pretending not to be Jewish. So he puts on a cat Brilliant. Mask.
The entire thing, and it's really engrossing, really well told, a brilliant story, and very happy that I got it for Christmas. So, good job.
Isn't there a bit where he's actually in it, talking about how the problems he's having drawing all of the different people as different animals, and like, what if I had to draw a mouse? What animal would I draw the mouse as?
Yeah, and there's a part in it, because it's divided up into two. It's half his father's story during World War II, during the Holocaust, and the other half is him talking to his father in present-day New York, which I suppose is the 1980s, about getting all the information for the story, and there's a big section where he has a conversation with his wife, who is French, about what animal she'll be.
Yes.
And it's hilarious. He's tiptoeing around, asking if he should draw as a frog or not. but yeah, it's such a brilliant read, and you should get it. Also, Persepolis, which is very good too.
Cool. I think I've seen the movie of Persepolis, but I've not read the graphic novel. But the movie was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw the film as well. It's actually the most faithful adaptation of anything that I've ever seen. It's
that's good.
A scene recreation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Another good tip, go see that film also. So there are my comics things. How about you guys? Did you guys get anything?
I got some new pens. I didn't get any comics books actually this year. I got some new pens, new paper, new things to create comics with, really. Mostly just drawing materials, really.
Cool. Were the sort of like artist style pens?
Faber-Castell, which is very nice. Far too expensive, but it was Christmas, so I kind of got other people to treat me rather than treat myself.
Excellent. Yeah. I love Faber-Castell pens as well. That's what I've started using fairly recently too. And I think they work great.
Wow, we're all pen friends. I've got them as well. It's what I'm inking Inkproof Canon with. Well, I'm inking them with Faber-Castell pens, and then I've got this archival ink in a pot as well, which I would use for a brush, which is quite cool.
Cool. Just as an aside, just as we're talking about artist equipment, sorry, I'll derail just for a minute, if I may. But I'd been on, the comic Galaxian.
Yes.
I was just having a wee look through, and I noticed that they had a link to this blog called Comic Tools, and they were, and she and this blog were all talking about what types of erasers that they used, and they'd done this whole big write-up about all these different types of erasers, and they'd like compared them like for like, and at the very end of it, they concluded that there was this one. A Tombow Mono eraser, and it said it was, by far the best eraser you can get. So I thought, how good can it be? So I looked on eBay and saw that I could get a pack of three for £3, and so I thought, why not? I'll go for it. It came through the post. I've started using it, and man, I never thought I would feel this way about an eraser. It's unhealthy for me to feel this way about this eraser, but they're amazing, and I would strongly recommend, if you get the chance, the company's called Tombow, like Tomboy, but without the Y, and it's just called the Mono Eraser.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
I had to put that in there since this topic of pens and things came up, and since I saw it sitting in front of me, I had to mention it.
That's a good tip. And Comic Tools is a really good blog, so everyone should also
read
that. Yeah. I've never thought about the erasers that I use. I've got one here. Well, actually, I've got three here. A Staedtler Mars Plastic, and I've been using them for years. They're actually the ones I started with. I've still got them, and they're still working very well. So, I've never really considered erasers before.
Well, the ones that I had before were general ones that, I'd had kicking about the house. But, they were fine, they got rid of the pencil. But, often I could still see it when I came to scan, afterwards. Or when I'd be rubbing out, it would create quite a lot of little bits of rubber, just that would I would inevitably never get rid of all of them, and then when I'd scan it, you'd see little bits of rubber sitting on the paper that you'd then have to Photoshop out or rescan it. But with my trusty Tombow Mono eraser, and I'm not on commission, honestly, but it doesn't have any of that. Like when you rub out with it, it sort of forms into long strands of rubber that you can then just you won't miss any as you're kind of brushing them off, and it does seem to really like pull the graphite out of the paper.
Is it a putty eraser?
No, it's a plastic eraser.
It sounds a lot like the ones I'm using, so maybe I'll just stick with the ones I've got, because it does exactly the same thing. It forms into strands that don't just stick to the paper.
All right, it probably is just the same then. Yeah,
that's cool. But I can see what you mean actually by. Excuse me. I can see what you mean when you're saying it's surprising the effect, because I do have a couple of other erasers here, and they're not as good, I have to say. Perhaps it's the type of plastic eraser.
It might be, I also found that with my other ones, like they once they got dirty, like you would really have to work to kind of clean the eraser off before you could actually use it again without leaving smudges and things. But again, with this one, it just seems to it doesn't really matter. Even if you do start with it kind of a bit grubbier, it will actually erase the grubbiness while you're erasing the rest of it. So big thumbs up from me.
Cool, that's good to know.
Messing around with new equipment's always fun as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's definitely.
It helps with motivation, doesn't it? Because I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you guys, but when I bought some Bristol board, I was itching to get home and just draw on it. So that was fun for me. But I'll tell you what, trying to scan A3 Bristol board with an A4 scanner is damn hard.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, are you sort of reassembling in Photoshop?
Yeah, I'm now scanning in three parts. I'll scan the top half and the bottom half, and then I'll scan in the middle, just so I miss out the bits where it's bent.
Right.
It's come together all right, but it's more time consuming than I expected.
But have you found any advantages from working then on the bigger paper?
Yes. The best thing I can think of is I get to put in the detail that I want without it clogging up on the screen. There's one thing I notice on all of the house, my cross-hatching turns into just smudges of grey. But when I'm drawing it on the Bristol board, it's actually staying as lines.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that.
Excellent. So are you going to be using the larger paper then for all the comics in Inkproof Canon?
All of the comics on Inkproof Canon are, well, all the ones that I'm drawing anyway, they're going to be on Bristol Board A3.
Right, cool.
Cool.
I enjoy
it, yeah. Inkproof Canon, Zoe, this would be your new... I think you've mentioned it a few times, but do you want to give us a brief rundown? Because it would also be a nice segue into our final little topic.
Sounds good. It's an anthology comic. It's not running one story, it's running five at a time. It's based on science fiction, fantasy and horror, basically anything that I really, really like doing. And it's my attempt to get some of the ideas that have been running around my head out onto paper, but in a way that stays true to my original ideas rather than trying to force them into odd mouse or all over the house. So I've got a lot of stuff that I can't use in my other comics, and I want to actually use it. And that's where this came from.
Excellent. So is there any sort of crossover between the stories, or they're each individual sort of tales in their own right kind of thing?
At this point, there are no crossovers. There might be in future stories, but for the ones I've got at the moment, they're very definitely unique. Well, I say they're separate.
Right.
I've got one that's a story about fighting back against discrimination in a far future setting with mutant people, who are just basically cast out of society because they're different and they're fighting for equality. I've got one that is it's a bit like, what if the Romans had existed in the far future and decided to try and unify the whole of the galaxy under one emperor? So that's quite an interesting one. And then I've got one which is three convicts who invent a time traveling machine out of an old bath.
Excellent.
Yeah, and that's
that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, that's like just one that I'm very interested in.
And you're not drawing all of them, that's...
I'm not. The one with the Romans, or the Roman-inspired one, that is by my friend John Ashworth, who is going to be drawing that, and I'm scripting that one.
Excellent. So are you? Have you written up quite a lot of the script in advance and passed it on to him, or are you going to do it on a week-by-week basis?
I was supposed to write it up over Christmas, and then I got ill. So he's got the first page, and I know where it's going, so I've got to really push that over the weekend.
Cool.
Hopefully it'll work out. But it is a lot of work, but at the end of the day, I really want to do it, so I think that's going to keep me going.
Yeah, definitely. No, it sounds like a really interesting project. I can't imagine having all those storylines going on in my head at the same time. I'd probably fall apart, but I think that'll be really interesting to do.
Well, I'm hoping that it works out quite well, because it's a lot of effort.
Will we move on to the last topic, or since we only have about 10 minutes left, should we just do more Christmas presents?
Do you have more Christmas presents?
No, James and Zoe never got to talk about their Christmas presents.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get anything, James?
I got a few graphic novels, actually. I got the first Hack Slash omnibus, which is quite cool. It's the story of a girl who goes around and basically kills, kind of slasher killers type, those types of people. And then another one called Dead at 17, which is by Josh Howard. I'm a big fan of his. I've really enjoyed both of those. Have you read any of either of those things?
I've got the issues of Dead at 17. It's quite good. I enjoyed it.
I absolutely love his art style. In addition to getting the graphic novel, I've actually got I am going to be getting a sketchbook that he's done recently, and my wife had asked him to actually put a sketch into it, but it's coming out from the States, and what with all the postage problems we've been having recently, it's going to be a late Christmas present, so I'm sort of waiting for the postman every day to drop this through the letterbox so I can complete Christmas, you know. got those two, and I got another one called Sky Doll, which was I think it was originally a French graphic novel about these sort of synthetic humans, and it's been translated into English, and it's really good. It's sort of very well drawn, and sort of sci-fi, space girls, all the sort of things I enjoy reading. So
sounds good.
Yeah. How about yourself, Zoe? What did Santa bring you?
Well, Santa brought me How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way by Stan Lee and John Buscema.
Which cool.
Is fantastic. I have to say, I've already started trying to incorporate it into what I'm drawing, and I think it's making my characters look better already. Just the basic ideas of the basic ideas of not just looking at your characters as stick figures, but trying to 3D-fy the stick figures and basically building everything up from shapes. I know you're supposed to do that, but I never have. I'm following what's in the book now, and I'm doing that. It's coming out quite well. And I also got the DC Comics Guide to Digitally Drawing Comics by Freddie Williams II. And this I haven't had as much chance to look at yet, but I love the idea of how he's building up all the inks, especially with inking on the computer and the different hatching methods. So I'm looking forward to getting through that one because it looks really good.
Oh, brilliant.
I do love the DC Comics style of very clean art.
That's excellent. I love those kind of books. You can really sort of sit and, you know, just play about with, you know, the styles, and inevitably you'll sort of adapt it to fit, you know, the bits that you like you'll probably take, and the bits that you don't like you can discard and, you know, come up with something different. You know, it's great getting those types of books.
Yeah, I gotta say I love them, so I'm happy.
So you said that you thought it was helping already. Are the comics that you've kind of been doing with those tips, are they already up on your site?
The All of the House one today uses a more rounded 3D stick figure instead of my traditional one for me to build the comics from. So cool. I think it looks a bit better. It's going to take a while of practice to get it properly, of course, but I think it's a nice start.
Excellent.
And also the
I'll have to go and compare them, scrutinise and judge very harshly.
Cool. There is another bit in here about they keep going on about a Marvel Comics character doesn't just stand there. They're always doing something, and I thought, actually, now you mention it, they are. You never just see someone stood with their hands in their pockets. I thought, yeah, so I'm trying to do that as well. So I'm going to have gestures and people actually moving and looking like they're not just stood there reading a line, they're moving on to the next one.
That's good. I like that. That's if I'm looking at your page today, I see all the hand gestures and all that. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Good work.
It's something I never even thought of before I read it, and then thought, you know what? People don't just stand there.
Yeah, that's it. That's
true.
It's so simple, but I wouldn't have clicked. So yeah, I'm happy. Santa was good to me.
Yes, sounds like we all had a pretty good Christmas comics wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I've just liked having the time of work to just sit down and draw a bit. Really, that's been the main thing I've enjoyed about Christmas.
Another feeling of the first two pages of Inkproof Canon, they were done over Christmas, and I was so happy to just be able to go into a room while everyone was watching TV and just have time to draw pictures. That was nice.
Yeah. Say goodbye to that tomorrow with all that, you know, work going on. But
yeah. Oh, work kicked back in today. Good grief.
Oh no. Yeah. Well, it's not till Wednesday for me, so I've got another day at it. But
well, aren't you all lucky? I'll think of you while I'm toiling away.
Although
shake a fist.
Although I have to say, we've been sort of painting our room for turning it into a nursery. So although I've been doing painting, it's not been like, you know, painting like a picture kind of thing. So,
should so do a giant mural of the girls and space characters on the wall.
Oh, if only. Right, what we'll do is you can try and convince my wife of that. And
I'll write a very carefully worded email.
Have you thought about just getting different shades of the same paint and do the mural in that and those different shades? So that from one angle when you're coming into the room, it looks like you've just painted the wall. But from the right angle, you see the picture.
Ah, I like it.
It can be UV so that it's only at night time.
Oh, that would rock.
When you shine a black light.
That would rock so much.
Hidden murals. It's going to be a new thing this year. Yeah. 2011. The year of hidden murals.
Stealth comics. They're the way forward.
That's it. It's no longer web comics. It's wall comics next.
Slightly more difficult to market, I imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. But worth it. Anyway, guys, it's been about an hour. Shall we wrap this up?
Yep, I think so, okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent.
No, I'm just going to sign off, actually. I should mention contact details if people want to send us any messages.
We should, yes. who wants to do that? Volunteer.
I'm not entirely sure what they all are. So,
true either, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither. Sorry.
I know that there is a contact form available at webcomics.co, and I know that there is an email address, but it's a closely guarded secret, which Zoe will share now.
The mailing address is mailbag@webcomics.co. And that's my best posh voice. So
and we love getting mail.
Yeah, that's, we do.
Yeah.
We wait next to the mailbag every morning.
It's true. I think we have actually gotten more spam than legitimate mail at this point. Yeah. But the legitimate mail that we got, it was amazing. Best day of my life, I think.
Come on, send us some mail. We live for validation.
And there's also leaving comments on the webcomics.co page, and I think, or if you email one of us directly and things like that. It's all there, and we're all on Twitter and things like that.
You can send messages to our Twitter as well at webcomics.co. So there you go. Send some messages.
There are so many ways for you to talk to us. You have no excuse.
Or you can hire a private detective, track us down, speak to us in person. No, maybe not that one. Right?
No, not that. We're all perhaps scary not. In real life, please. Except at the conventions. We're nice then.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Anyhow, I have been Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com. Thanks for listening.
And I am James Spitz of Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk.
I'm Luke Healy, and you can read my comic on swannynook.com.
And I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson. You can find everything I'm involved in at zoerobinson.com. You've been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. We'll see you again in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
I see you've given up on reading all of your URLs, so
there's not enough time in the world.
That normally takes up a good chunk of the podcast. But
yeah, we'll have to think of a new segment to fill out that.
That's right. But then if both of you guys are now taking on blogs, then you'll be able to start filling the space as well. And I'll maybe start a couple as well. So we'll gradually, between us, we'll build up an impressive portfolio of websites.
Yeah, we'll work hard. That's our homework. More websites.
Websites are good.